You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at The Honeydew Studios doing it at Santa Monica Music Center. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media. Go to my website, ryansickler.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Be the first to know all kinds of different information. Hopefully when we're getting some live dates, all that stuff, it'll be there. And make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rsickler. It'll be on all the posts, everywhere on social media. Make sure you're on the Facebook fan page as well. And Patreon, keep sending your stories in. Email me at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you think you have a story you'd like to share, we're going to go through them and have you guys on. We've already done a few episodes. They've been a lot of fun. And that's The Honeydew with y'all. You know what I'm saying? So send your stories in for that. The website for the show, thehoneydewpodcast.com. Make sure you're getting your merch over there, your shirts, your hoodies, the night pants. I mean, Night Pants Nation, y'all. I can't even wait to introduce my next guest. Night Pants Nation over here. Is growing and growing. So thank you for your support. And I love seeing you guys out there. Keep sending the pictures. I'll keep tagging you. And I just want to give a special shout out again to my friend Lana Negretti here at the Santa Monica Music Center where we record. If you live in LA and you're looking for lessons for you or your kids, they're offering online lessons. And this is the spot, man. I'm telling you, they've been here for 50 years. They're a family-owned business, giving back to the community. And, you know, with all the uncertainty, they've done a lot of online classes. So if you go right now to the website, santamonicamusic.com, use code Honeydew, they will waive the registration fee and give you a free lesson when you sign up for a package. So it doesn't matter if you live in, I don't know, Indianapolis. If you want you or your kids to be trained by some really great Los Angeles musicians, I'm telling you, this is the spot. Now, that said, about the show. If you're new here, welcome. And for the rest of you coming back, thank you so much for supporting. I really appreciate everything you guys do. You know I mean it. And like I always say, these are the stories behind the storytellers, and we're highlighting the lowlights. And I cannot wait to re-highlight some lowlights with my man over here. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Wolf, y'all, everybody.
What's up, man?
Welcome back to the Honeydew.
How you doing, man?
I'm really good. I'm going to show you how I'm doing.
All right.
Take a little sip of my water. I'll show you my Honeydew night pants.
Now, I have to tell you, it's exactly the last time.
That's how I'm doing.
Last time I was on the Honeydew, we talked about night pants.
They didn't exist. They did not.
And we spoke afterwards, and you said, you know what, man? I'm making some night pants. And I said, go ahead, dude. I don't think anybody else is selling night pants.
Listen to me. I have been for, this goes back to, I want to actually say it might have been a Santino episode of the Crab Feast where I just, because I've always called them night pants. Yeah. And Larson and Nate, they start shitting on me, whatever, night pants. And I've always said I want to do like night pants. And I've talked about doing a night pants tour where you come in your night pants. And then when you go home, you're fucking ready to be there. You know what I mean?
Wait. Are you performing in night pants?
Yeah, too? Fuck yeah. I'm
because by low key, that's the smartest.
Yes.
Because that means you just get to wear your pajamas
that's
on stage?
It, bro. That's it. And I'm done. I'm done for the night. You come out. I don't know what meet and greet's going to be like moving forward, but you know what I'm going to have available? Some fresh motherfucking night pants. And you can come get your night
yo,
pants.
Yo, let me ask you something. How many night pants, you go for a weekend, how many pairs of night pants are you going to bring for the weekend? Because are you wearing the same night pants on stage as you're wearing to bed?
No. I'm going fresh night pants every show.
Every show.
Just like a new pair of sneakers, but I'm going night pants. I'm going fresh night pants.
And do you sleep in your night pants?
I do sleep in my night pants. If it's hot, I sleep in shorts.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about making some night shorts.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got. How do you not have night shorts?
About to get them. Upstate. let's get them night shorts ready.
Wait, now I'm going to tell you right now, night pants of the same material, I don't hate those. Make them a little loose with a drawstring. Mm-hmm.
These have a drawstring and pockets.
Pockets?
I have yours coming. I'm upset that I couldn't get them in time for you, but I have a pair coming for you. These are quality night pants.
I'm going to tell you right now, as many people buying night pants, you're going to have twice as many people buying night shorts because a lot of people don't like to sleep and get hot. But they have.
I got a lot of Florida fans. Might need some night shorts.
Night shorts. Come
you.
On.
I got
man.
Your panhandle. I got you.
Yeah, they want some night shorts. And I, you see.
So after saying it to you and you clowning me, yeah. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I finally, it's time. I've been talking about doing this shit forever. Let's just make these night pants. And then boom, made the night pants. And then the goddamn virus hits. And there it is. I got the cure for comfort right there. I told Segura, you all went for safety with the masks. I went comfort.
Yeah.
We hit the virus from both sides.
Smart.
You know what I'm
saying?
It
was really smart. The pants during the, because I will tell you, about maybe a month into quarantine, I said out loud, let's see if those jeans fit. You know?
Listen,
I had been wearing pants with a drawstring for so long, I had no, I couldn't judge where I was at. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I put my jeans on and I buttoned that top button and it was tight, tight.
Yeah.
And the top button went boing.
Nah, did it?
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, so
I haven't had a pair of jeans on, I don't know, probably a few days before quarantine, because I like, this is it, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm not wearing jeans again unless I fucking have to. From here on out, it's night pants, and so I'm going old school Italian.
Wait.
Dude, I'm sweatsuit rocking. I
underwear?
Don't give a fuck anymore.
Underwear? Yeah, 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 underwear. I'm old scale.
I have kids.
You said old school Italian guy.
Without underwear.
You said old school Italian. There wasn't one. It's like going over there to where I used to live near the Guitar Center on Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there isn't a Russian dude there who owns a tracksuit and underwear.
Yeah, you're right about that. I like the way my fucking dick feels on that velour, man.
Man, I like it. Right next to the Adidas logo.
All right.
Yeah, dude.
We have some things to talk about.
We
but
do.
Before we do, please promote anything you want. Promote all of it. Chaos, all of it.
Okay. First of all, if you haven't gone to my YouTube channel and watched my stand-up, please do. I'm the special that I have on there. I'm not proud of everything I've ever done, but I consider this to be a quality
hour. Absolutely.
And if you like if you like storytelling, I don't think I'm the best, but I'm not the fucking worst. Do you know what I mean? So it's a great. It was a.
Well,
I had so much fun.
Let me ask you this: how many YouTube subscribers do you have now?
1.2 million. I think.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, but go check them out.
Pretty up there.
Yeah,
it's
doing all right.
I do all right.
So the other thing is, like, I do this show called Control Chaos, and I do it every Tuesday night, and I used to do it in studio, and now because of COVID, I do it Zoom. It's
so much fun.
Fun. I honestly think it just needs a couple of eyeballs, and off it goes, because it's really just three funny people riffing. I give you ridiculous questions to answer, and it's like, you know, it's honey for the bee. You guys are just
for
get
the
to
do.
Yeah, for
it's
the
honey for the dew.
It y'all. Is. I wouldn't even eat honeydew with honey on it. that's how bad. There isn't. I've never taken a good bite of honeydew. But Control Chaos every Tuesday night, and then yeah, just check my social out, man. But those are the two things I'm really pushing right now.
Which social? Josh Wolf Comedy?
Josh Wolf Comedy. And also, if you like people watching people be high and doing stupid shit, every Monday night, I do in my backyard, I do something called a High Live, where I take mushrooms and I smoke weed and I turn on my
you
camera.
You do shrooms also with
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. We'll have to talk about that
so
after we get out of here.
I do mushrooms. I do mushrooms. I smoke weed. I turn on my camera. I draw pictures. I read children's books. It's just a lot of weird fun. And that's it, man. Just fun shit. I'm really decided I'm not going to do anything I don't like doing anymore.
I agree. 100% agree. Whatever the fuck I want to do, I'm doing from now on.
I
don't care.
No, yeah, because the deal is, if we look at the people that we know who are the most successful in our game, that's exactly what they did.
But also, I don't even mean that. If I want to go get a fucking face tattoo, I'm getting a fucking face tattoo.
But what I mean is, what I've learned from those people is, hey, just be as much of yourself as you're comfortable being.
Be as
but
you
the
as
more
you can
be. You can be, the not this is going to sound not the less you have to do as in the less the, you don't you have to do less work, but the less it feels like you're working, because when you're just it always felt like work. When you were putting something on, but if you're just being you, it's almost easier because you're not thinking about like, what do I have to do to make these people laugh? You're like, I'm just going to do this because this makes me laugh. And if it makes me laugh, the people who are watching or listening, that's obviously what they want to see too. But the more authentic you can be, I've found from, look at Joey Diaz, dude.
Yep.
Joey Diaz.
This guy has done time. He has kidnapped someone.
Yeah.
And he is embraced and loved. I'm still doing his whole life story on this show. I love that dude.
Listen, man.
Checking on you.
With phone calls.
Phone calls. Doesn't leave a message.
No.
You call me back.
Yeah.
Don't fucking text me. You call me. You text him anyway. Maybe you get one.
Well, he's going to be mad, though. There's a chance. You know what his message on his used to be on his phone? Hey, you know who this is, cocksuckers. Let me tell you something. Don't leave a fucking message unless it's about work or you owe me money. And you... This is on his machine. And you motherfuckers talking about sets, so you want to come hang out or any of that fucking stupid shit, I'll fucking choke you the next time I see you. Okay, bye.
Be blessed. Be blessed.
But he would get so mad. So people would, you know, if you wanted to mess with him, you just got to leave him one message. What's going on, Joe? How about this? He was told over and over again, too dirty, change who you got to, this is not. He was 50 when he hit 50, which means he throughout a lot of scary fucking years of piecing together. I remember him in I used to be fascinated by him and how he survived. And I remember him in my kitchen. Kitchen's not the right word, but I had this living room set that was all old barrels. We had found it on the side of the road in West Hollywood, and we were like,
barrels?
Barrel chairs, a barrel table, barrels. So, and to see him sitting on one of those chairs was so fucking funny.
I hope you have a picture of that somewhere.
But he would be like, and he'd take out this notebook, and he'd be like, on Tuesday, I'm getting $20 from Rudy. And you would see him put together this week. And you knew there was an easier path for him. And he just was like, this is just who I am. And eventually the town caught up to it. But that he was so himself for so long before it was cool to be yourself. I think he scared people away.
Oh, no doubt. Well, remember when I did your CMT show, they cut him out.
Yeah.
It was like he was there in the wide shots and never said anything. Yeah. He was too whatever for them.
So. I will tell you, when I did that show, man, the list of people that I made, I was like, these people are coming on the show. The list of where people were like, are you sure that those people for this crowd? I'm like, these are my friends. And a lot of these people are my friends who everybody on TV says they can't come on TV. So you know whose TV show they're coming on? My fucking, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
On
like,
CMT.
Yeah, but they were like, these people, well, they're not right for this network. Well, they're not right for the network because they're my friends and I'm on this network. That didn't always go over that well.
It did not. Some people got cut completely out of the episode. All the check. Yeah. Cast, you know what I'm saying?
They did cut them out, man.
So here's the thing. We go back a long way, obviously, but I've known you over the years to become a grandfather. I've known you, but you've always been a father since I've known you. Always.
Yeah.
And you told me that recently you... So how old are you now?
50, dude.
So 50, I love it. So at 50, and see, I'm just behind you, but you're still growing and learning. And you said you just... Some things hit you about your father.
Yeah.
Your dad.
You know, so my son is living with me now. And
how old is he? 22?
23. I have to tell you, man, it's like bonus time. Because at that age, you don't expect to get this extended amount of time when he has to be home. So he has to fucking talk to me. He's got, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's been the silver lining from this whole thing. Because let me just tell you one thing. The silver lining is I'm so less worried about, not only do I get to spend time with him and just hang with him, but the things that I was worried about him, you know, there was a movie a couple of years ago, I think it was called 20th Century Women. And there was a line in there. I think Julianne Moore was the mom. I forget. Maybe not. But there was a line in there that their mom said to this girl about who had taken her son out. And she basically said, what, or maybe it was Annette Bening. She said, what's he like out there? And the girl was like, what do you mean? And she said, well, as the mom and the parent, I never get to see what they're like in the world. And I was like,
that's interesting. Yeah. You get to see what they're like as a child, but not a boyfriend or a student or
you know who they are in front of you.
Right.
At your house.
Yeah.
But you don't get to see who they are out there. Because everybody puts on their best, bravest face in front of their parents. You don't get to see, like, I know. My parents don't know everything. You know what I mean? Right? So when I heard that in the theater, I was like, wait. I was like, holy fuck. But he told me some stories about some shit he's done just out in the world. Where I was like, I'm so glad you told me those, man. Like, I had so many of the worries that I had about you. Those stories, what you told me, takes away those fears. Like, it's been so good to have him home. I've always been confident in who he is. You've met my son. He's a great kid.
You guys, with him, you and your wife, and he changed my mind on ever smoking weed with kids. Because I've always thought I would never, I love.
Yeah.
Marijuana, it works for me. I'm full support of it. This is water, but I always thought I won't smoke with my kids. I just always felt, and also I've always felt like it would come at like a fucking cookout or, you know what I mean? Like, we're all like, hey, dad's going to the garage, whatever. But
sitting, watch my burger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting at a cafe, I never considered it being a legal thing anyway in that equation. Sitting at a cafe, a real restaurant, where, I would go have a drink with my daughter when she's 21. Why wouldn't I do that in a proper setting? And that changed my whole thoughts on, then I probably would smoke weed with my kids.
Think about this, man.
When they're of age.
Yeah.
Of course.
Tomorrow.
Listen, I get it for my daughter now. She's 5. That elementary school's got some good shit pumping through.
Yeah, that's why I like public school, man. But think about this, like
private schools, coke and the public
school heroin. Weed. You get public school way healthier for you. But I wouldn't sit and get fucked up either way. I'm not going to sit and get drooling drunk.
No.
You know what I mean? Right. So like if you're okay with having a beer or a glass of wine, that's the whole thing.
I'm not doing 4-foot bong rips. I'm smoking a joint. That's it. Yeah.
Dude, the 4-foot bong rips. I miss them. You know what? I'm not gonna lie to you. I miss him. So it's been great. It's been great having him home, and I watch him play video games, all that shit. And so I started to ask him for the first question that kind of I wanted to know how his childhood was. Right? I just like what was his experience? I know what my idea of what his experience was. Well, I just want to know. Like, you can't hurt my feelings now. We're buddies, and like. And then we were talking, and the question that kind of kicked all this off with my dad, I asked him, I said, was there ever a meal that, like, when either me or your mom were like, we're having this tonight, you guys were like, oh, the fuck? I mean, everybody had, right, growing up for
meatloaf.
Right, was it when,
I fucking hate meatloaf, and I hate just, like,
and did they make it at the house?
You know what I mean? Just, like, meat, potatoes, and carrots.
Did they make it at the house?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? When they said that.
Smell it like, all day. You're like, you're already miserable, motherfucker. Ruin my lunch knowing we're having that for dinner.
For me, it was every Friday night. We did not grow up with a lot of money. And so Friday was when my dad took everything that was left over in the fridge.
Fridge shit.
He put it in when this yellow, it wasn't a crock pot, but it was a yellow, like, pot with handles on the side and a lid. When he took this old yellow ceramic pot out, you knew it's casserole night. And he put everything that was left over from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, put it in a pan, put cheese on that shit, and called it casserole. So you were like, is that lasagna and potatoes and green beans? Like, what the fuck? It was everything with cheese, and he called it casserole. So I was telling Jacob, I was like, was there ever anything? And Jacob was like, that's funny about the casserole. And I go, yeah, that is funny. And we were laughing about it. And then when I started to think back, I was like, but I remember how mad it made me at my dad growing up. I remember how mad I was at him. And I remembered how I thought he was so fucking cheap. And like, it was how embarrassing the casserole was.
I was about to say how embarrassing, yeah.
Even when it was just us eating it, how embarrassing it was.
The feeling of all.
Oh, my God. And it started to make me think about, like, and Jacob asked me a lot of questions about, man, you were different than a lot of the parents that I knew in that, you know, you never raised your voice and.
That's the weed.
Yeah.
I'm not a yeller.
Yeah, man.
Listen. I'm a, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm
more, what are you doing? That's it. I hit it in there.
Yeah, I'm when I'm high, I'm more of a long vowel. Like, I'll hold on to my man or shit like that. And so it slows the conversation down. Mm-hmm. But I told him, I said, you know, I learned a lot from the way my dad parented me. Like, I remember there were definitely a lot of things when I was growing up. I was like, I'm not going to be this. I'm not going to be this. I'm not going to be this. But I said, the real thing that kind of changed me as a dad was your first 2 weeks alive. When I realized that nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
Nobody.
Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. So mistakes are going to be made. First of all, mistakes are going to be made. Also, when you have babies young, sometimes you're not emotionally equipped. You know what having a kid made me realize? Like, I would say things to my dad like, I hate you. I can't imagine my kid saying that to me. It hurts.
You've never had that?
No, dude. It hurts me thinking about saying that to him because I knew what that would do to me if Jacob was ever like, I fucking hate you. I think I told you this story once a couple years ago when I gave my dad, I laid into him a little bit because he had said to me, if comedy doesn't work out, you should get into producing. This was after the David Ortiz roast. And I went off on him and I had asked, I saw him the next day and I felt bad and I said, hey, I'm really sorry. But he also was the sage that day and was like, He said, you know, I opened up a conversation to you. I asked you a couple questions. You gave me some answers that were true to you. I can't be mad at you for giving me responses to what I brought up.
Right. No, because it's not what I want to hear. Yeah.
It was blew my mind. I was like, that changed, by the way, him saying that to me that day changed my life moving forward because I stopped being mad at people for their answers that I asked you a question, man.
Right.
Well, it's not the one that I wanted, but that's where you are, right? But I would say things to him that were just horrible. And what having Jacob made me realize, you know, my two oldest kids were not mine biologically. And at the time, honestly, that Jacob was born, I was with the mom and with the two kids. I was moving to California. It was like and I'm a pretty easygoing dude, but you see how life gets at you and you can lose your temper quicker. You can raise your voice. Like all that stuff can happen to the best person who is the best parent who loves their kid more than anybody.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There are going to be times when life beats your patience. Period. As a child, you don't get that. You know, we were really poor growing up. My dad didn't have a job for a long time. I'm sure that was very stressful on him. I'm sure that was very difficult knowing that my mom went to work every day. This is not right now when it's cool. Not so cool. Or not that it wasn't cool. It just wasn't what was happening.
Right. It wasn't common.
No. And it wasn't that. So he sunk and as a human being, I look back now, he was probably super depressed. Because when he did get a job, who he was and his parenting, this is what I all realized later, changed. He became the dad that none of my brothers got. And I got him for my entire year, high school years, maybe more. But I realized that most people are just parenting the best they can.
No, all people.
Do you know what I
mean? All parents are just doing the best they
can. Some people,
well, you're right. Okay. There's some shitty ones who aren't doing the best they can.
But,
fair enough.
But that's the thing. Like, and you may judge from the outside.
But also, it might be the best they can. Because they're just shitty people.
Yes. But like, I really do believe that even the, looking from the outside, that's not great. And I really believe that. And so it changed my perspective on my dad. And it changed how I parented moving forward so much.
Here's the thing, too, about us as human beings on this planet. We take on so many roles in our lives. We are fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, cousins, nephews, coworkers, fucking... You're not going to be good at every single role in your life. You could be a kick-ass teacher and a horrible fucking parent. You know what I mean? Like,
by the way,
it can happen.
You see people who are terrible spouses and great friends and great parents.
Yes.
They're just not good at this
part. That's right.
Part.
Just because you're a terrible husband doesn't mean you're a horrible father. They're not
two separate things.
Completely
it's
separate.
Usually the woman's fault.
But also the parenting thing is it's a long game. You could be a great parent for 8 years and a shitty one for the next 10.
What? Because
but you could rebound. You know what I mean? It is an ever-growing, ever-changing, yes. ever-flowing thing. And unfortunately, it's the long game when you get into your 30s, 40s, 50s where you look and become a parent, look back and go, how the fuck did they do that?
Yeah.
How the fuck did they do that?
With four, because most of us grew up in a bigger family.
And you're right. But also back then, not diagnosing depression, anxiety,
ADD,
any of that. It's like
anything.
Walk it off. Everything,
yeah,
walk
yeah,
it
yeah.
off.
Duct tape.
Yep, duct yeah, tape yeah. and walk it off, motherfucker.
Yeah. I remember I talked to my dad about this, like, because he was in Seattle where Jacob was born. Right? And I was, at the time I had a St. Bernard, so we went out and walked my St. Bernard. Yo, this St. Bernard, by the way, Ryan, massive, right?
They're all massive. I mean, they could have a fucking barrel under their neck.
Okay, so at one point in time, I went on vacation and my roommate didn't realize that he had a little dog he could put in the yard and not latch the fence. My dog's head could open doors that had handles. He would go like this.
That's it? That high?
Dude, ooh. And he walked out in the street and he got hit in the head by a car. Lived.
Holy shit.
Lived, but his head got smaller. He was like a Far Side character. He had a huge body and a tiny head.
It really did?
Yeah, because all the muscle atrophied. So he had this tiny little head and this massive body. It was
really great. Talk about a honeydew a dog right there. Fuck happened to your head, man? Like, I won't talk about it.
But here's it. But he used to, he looked like, this is when all the Beethovens were coming out, right? So kids.
Yeah. It's time to be a saver.
Yeah. Yeah. So dog, kids would run up to him. Beethoven, right? Well, after he got hit in the head, something happened to his personality and he wasn't nice. So these kids would run up and Bud was named, would lunge at him. And so this one girl at the park ran up and lunged, and poor sweetie was crying, and the mom picked her up and walked her away. The mom, I'm still walking the dog around the park, and I used to tell him, not Beethoven, my bad, no, slow down, right? Because there's only this dog, dude.
It's Mozart right here. Yeah. You don't want to fuck with this dog. You don't want to fuck with this dog.
This is Miles Davis, so I wouldn't come up. This dude, listen, 150 pounds. I'm having heart. If he decides head down, I'm
it's
going
over.
That way.
Yeah, you're going.
So I kept telling him, back up. And so the mom comes up to me, finds me, and goes, she's mad, dude. Hands on hips. Karen walks right up to me.
Karen.
And she goes, I hope you're happy. And I'm like, sorry, what? She goes, well, your dog just ruined all the Beethoven movies.
Like, you're welcome,
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, she was like, she said, I'm never watching Beethoven again.
You're welcome, bitch.
But I called my dad. We're out walking my dog. I mean, my dad and I were out walking my dog. And, I said to him, I want to apologize to you.
This is how long ago?
This was 2 weeks after Jacob was born.
Okay, 2 weeks after.
I said, I want to apologize to you. And he said, for what? I said, it's not. I didn't know how much you didn't know. And he said, about what? I go, parenting. He goes, oh, I still don't know. And he said, I was like, what do you mean? He said, well, as your kids get older, you know them less and less. So they show you who, especially in the teenager, they show you who they, a lot of times, who they think you want them to be. So sometimes, like one of my brothers would always get gifts that he was like, I hate it. He would tell us, I hate that. I'm like, but they think you like it because this is who they think you are, right? This is the best kids who are liars tell their parents 70% of the truth. Because 70% seems like an awful lot to the parent. Well, he did tell us about that one thing, but they're holding on to that 30% that you're never going to fucking know, you know? And so that's what he was saying. He said, it doesn't get easier. They're gone more. You know them less.
And that's, you know, it's a great point, because as they behave the way they think maybe you want them to as a teenager, you're probably getting a lot of that behavior too. Best behavior, especially if they don't live around you, because they're coming home for holidays and things like that. So let's have a good time. And there's emphasis on making sure this is fun and memorable and, you know, not just some bullshit.
You know, and I've talked about this before, but my daughter hid cutting from us for years.
How? Do you know now how?
Well, they're just parts of her body that I never saw.
Never saw her in short sleeve shirts.
So she would wear short sleeve shirts, but maybe the back of her leg, like hamstring, and she would just wear shorts or pants or in the winter or when it was cold, she would wear long sleeve, but that way she could get her arms and like,
jeez,
you just don't know. And people are like, how can you not know? Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm a pretty attentive dude, man. I love my kids. I'm in their shit. I'm a dude to tell you right now, if you're a parent and your kid is over 13 and you're not snooping, why the fuck not? I found out so much about their lives. There's only one thing I ever busted any of them about. And there was some shit I found out that I was like, I think this is terrible, but they're not going to harm themselves, or this is not something I need to know. I found, when Jacob was 15, I found a vape with nicotine vape.
I'm like, you smoke weed, motherfucker. In this house, we smoke weed.
I was like, first of all, don't hit my vape. Yeah, you're not gonna like that. But I wasn't. I got. And he was like, you were snooping? I go, first of all, he goes, were you snooping in my room?
That's today's cigarettes.
But yeah, and I said, first of all, I was snooping in my room. You live in my house. You are technically renting that room. Do you know that bed? Who bought that bed? He's like, you. I'm like, you're sleeping on my bed in my room. You're sitting on my chair. You're using my cover. Everything in this house is mine, including this fucking vape. And I was like, let me tell you something right now. Hide it. I said, and I even said to him, look, parents, if you're looking for something in a boy's room, look for an old cigar box, some wood box that they think is cool that they found on the street somewhere. You know what I mean? The stash box. So I said, I'm not even going to say anything about the weed you got in that stupid wood cigar box on your desk. And he goes, you found that? I go, that's where you hid it? On top of your desk? Yeah, I found it, dude. I found it by just walking in and opening it up.
It's not hidden at all.
just like the bong that's in that paper bag out by the recycling bin. He goes, you know that's there too? I'm like, yeah, why is it outside, bro? He was like, it's so big. I'm like, bring it in. Someone's going to steal it, dummy. So he did. He used to keep a bong by the recycling bin.
Outside.
In a giant, like, you know the didgeridoos?
Yeah.
In like a case, it looked like a didgeridoo.
But like a quarter of it still stuck out.
It's so stupid because you can't get the... Well, anyways. But, yeah, I snooped, man. And I snooped, and I wish I had snooped and found out about the cutting. But that's
so
why.
So you only snooped on your son?
No, I snooped on her too.
You did.
But I didn't find... I found some things, but nothing, right? And things that were just private for her. But like if I had seen... Hey, I'm cutting, or I found a razor blade. I could have jumped in earlier. I know a lot of people would be like, you're breaking your kid's trust. Okay. But if it's between breaking.
To save their life, yeah. Then fuck you.
If it's and when they get older, they will understand.
Hell yeah. But if it's. You might not talk, they might not talk to you for 10 fucking years.
Maybe not. They'll get it. And if they died, you would be like, oh, I should have fucking snooped. I'm not in there because I found out they drank over the weekend. Right. I'm not in there busting her because I found the clothes that she hid, that she wears when she leaves the house. That's all regular teenage shit. But if I'm finding a razor blade, or I'm finding, like, in a diary, I'm finding things about how I want to kill myself, I'm glad I snooped. I don't want to, when people are like, you break your trust. All right. I'm on the save life side.
Well, I guess they're going to have to earn it back then.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I apologized to my dad, and I was like,
wait, I have to ask you, yeah. When did you find out and how did you find out if your daughter hit it so well? I'm curious to know. How did you find out she was cutting?
She told us.
She told you. She came clean because she wanted help.
Yeah, well, we had started to put her in therapy before then, so I think the therapist was like, you got to tell your parents.
So this came, but you were out of nowhere. You had no idea.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like I said, you always think you have a great relationship with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably do. But there are things you don't know. When I hear parents say, my kid tells me everything, nope. No. Would you tell your parents everything?
Fuck no. And I didn't even have parents.
Yeah.
I still ain't telling them shit.
But yeah, so having a kid led to a lot of forgiveness for my dad and an apology to him because I knew, man, he said, and it took this thing looking back to realize that he realized at some point, he pulled, oh my God, this is one of the hardest things I had ever heard. We were driving to his cousin's house. And it was a silent car ride. My brother and I had fucking had enough of my dad. And
how old are you at this time?
I got to go. We were probably 10 and 12. And this fucking guy just never gave anyone a break and just seemed like the biggest dick. And before we
were. Your dad? You're talking about your dad?
Yes. Okay. And it just was always on edge and never seemed happy. But like I said, as a kid, I don't know. Looking as a grown up, I know. Dude went through a tough period. And a tough period with four teenage boys in the house at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like, with four boys in the house challenging authority at all times.
Every time you turn a corner, somebody else is telling you no.
Yes. Yeah. Every fucking, it smells. You know how bad it smells. And constant fighting. I'm sure that he was like, I lose my fucking mind. So, but he pulled us over. He looked in the back seat, and my brother and I were. I knew we were just like, oh my God. And he, maybe the first time. You know, he didn't start saying I love you until his dad died.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How old was he when his dad, roughly? Do you know?
I bet you.
Like, how old were you when your grandfather died?
Fuck. I bet that's got to be 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
So it took him years and years to say.
He wasn't saying it. You know, how he showed he loved you is he showed up. Mm-hmm. He was at every game I ever played. Coached most teams. He showed up.
Okay.
But he was not. I think that's more of a generation thing too, you know. I'm not sure those old dudes were kissing you on the cheek and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he showed up. And I didn't. But he was quiet because he's just a quiet dude. So I never gave him credit for that either until I got older because I didn't realize how hard it is to always show up, to make sure you're always available.
That is all you need to do to be a good parent.
Show
up. Do the best you can and show up and be genuinely interested in what they're doing.
Yeah.
If it's fucking soccer or whatever it is, then be behind it and support it. They don't need trips to fucking Europe. They don't need the thises and the thats and the cars and the fuck. All they need is, unconditional love. That's it. Show up, be interested, and love them. That's it. Do the best you can.
My daughter, I took her on a trip across the country to get her first kiss, right? Can I tell you that story?
Get her first kiss? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
I heard that right?
Yeah.
You're driving your daughter to get her first kiss?
Okay. I didn't tell you this story?
I don't believe you have. I just don't want to forget your dad has just pulled over
and
has turned around and looked at you, and we're going to be leaving. You're leaving me on a cliffhanger right now. I don't know what the fuck.
He starts to go into this stuff. You know, his cousin is a really successful guy.
He just pulls over and what? Like, is briefing you before you pull up?
We're at the foot of the driveway. We're up on it. And it's two cars, my mom and my other two brothers. I don't know why we were taking two cars at the time, but it was just me, my dad, and my... And he pulls over, and he's like, hey, so this and this, and he even apologized. He's like, I'm sorry, I've been real on edge. And he said, this is what I want you guys to do in life. And he said a couple of things, and he said, I want you to do those things because I don't want you to end up like me. And I was like, it was the first time, even as a kid, I was like, that was one of the heaviest. Like, when I look back at all this stuff and I imagine saying that to a kid, that's how much he was struggling to just to hold it together, it seemed, for a bit. It was really, you look back and you piece it together and you're like, oh yeah, this dude was really, during a difficult time, doing the fucking best he could.
Yeah.
And so when I started to put all that together, I knew I owed him, whether he wanted to hear it or not, I needed him to know that I was sorry, that I had given him such a hard time, and that all these realizations were going to change how I looked at parenting and how I reacted to my kids and how they reacted to me, even if they were a little out of line or not to take things personally. And like, there were so many lessons that I learned from the way he handled himself. I have to say, man, graciously, the way I look back at some of the things that were said to him, and some of them he deserved.
You said I hate.
Yeah. Some of the things, man, he it was tough sometimes, but like he did what he could. And man, I look back, like I said, he showed up to everything. He was a good dad. He just did
brought it. Brought the casserole.
But he did it the way he could do it. No love, but just like, but that casserole, bro. You know what else he used to do? He used to leave big, because he wanted the burgers to be healthy, he used to put big chunks of green pepper in them. Like Flintstone.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, why can't I just have a salad? Why do I gotta have, why does the pepper have to be in the fucking burger? I can't have a salad. He's like, nah, it's good. It's right in there.
It's healthy, boy.
He was the worst cook, but he used to make pancakes for me and my friends every Sunday morning in his underwear, in his tighty whities.
Yeah, bro. I'll tell you, was your dad in the military?
No, he was not in the military.
Dads make the best breakfast. They just make good breakfast.
But why
military dads make it? Because military dads, they're always up early. They make good breakfast. I'm like, your dad was in the military. Anytime I spend the night at somebody's house, I'm like, your dad in the military? Like, yeah, I'm like, we up for that. We're going to be up for that.
Was he wearing underwear?
Always tighty whities. My dad was big tighty. My dad would come out on purpose. It's his house.
Yep.
He's going to come out and be like, guys, turn that shit down. And we're like, Jesus Christ, Dad. Like, come on. And they're all laughing and everything. And he's laughing, walking back. Like, stop.
My dad used to shit with the door open.
That's, you know what? That's claiming listen, your fucking dad.
That's the thing. I always said that is a power move.
That is.
This is a. So one time my friend, I think it was Mike O'Connor. He was over at the house. And we were probably 10 or 11. And my dad was in his room. And he goes, boys, come in here. Come in here. And we run into his room, and he was actually in his room, but on the toilet. And the door was open. He was just sitting on the toilet with his tighty whities around the ankle, and he just looks at us, and he goes, what are you doing today? And I was like, oh, fuck you.
So good.
I don't know. Well, he's never coming back.
Never forgot it, though. Yeah, that guy's never coming back.
Did you have a meal? That was meatloaf growing up. You hated it.
I hated meatloaf. I'll say this. Every time I hear that, like, you got to try my meatloaf. No, I fucking don't. Okay. Your meatloaf ain't shit either. Okay. Your meatloaf ain't shit. Okay. Everybody puts that same seasoning and shit in it. That's what does it. It ruins it.
I just don't think anything. I don't like the word loaf really in my
loaf of bread.
Loaf of bread, but something loaf.
Like of meat?
Fruit loaf, meat loaf.
Of meat?
Nut loaf. I don't need a loaf.
Can we cut this up and make some hamburger patties? One time, this black girl named Juanita came to a Super Bowl party I threw. And she's like, Ryan, I know how you feel. I go, listen, don't even. And she's like, I know. She goes, but I don't put, I do it different. So I go to have it. And she made a football out of the loaf.
Oh, all right.
And bacon for the laces. And then sour cream for all the, you know, white, yeah, like the border of the football and everything. And I'm going to say this. It's the only meatloaf I've had that I liked. It was good.
But, dude, it's because it had good bacon and
exactly
sour cream.
That's what I'm saying. When you got to start throwing bacon on honeydew and shit like that, then you don't have anything. You got good bacon.
I would tell you this. If you put bacon and sour cream on almost anything, that's a winner.
It's edible.
Yeah.
It's edible.
That is a winner, dude. Yeah. But, yeah, man, I mean, I'm sure having a kid changed how you thought you'd parent, right?
Oh, everything, man. And also, like, my father died when I was 16. So as soon as I had my daughter, like, I've said it before, the most scared I've been was the drive home from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they're finally like, hey, this big safe building where we have all the things to take care of everybody and save their life needed, we're going to give this to you, and you're going to get that away from here, and good luck to all of you. And then you're like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. You know, it made me so nervous to drive home. But yeah, it changed everything. You know, my daughter said to me the other day, she had a little splinter, and she's had a couple before, and I went to get the tweezers, and the last one, it hung. It held on like it didn't want to go, so she got mad. She was crying a little bit, so she did not want to do it on this one. I go, let me just get it. It'll make you feel better. And she looked at me. She's like, Dad, it's my body. If I don't want to take the splinter out, I don't want to take it out. And I looked at her. I go, you know what? It's a five-year-old. I was like, you're 100% right. It's your body. If you don't want to fucking take it out, leave it in there.
Go and she ahead. Left it in?
Mm-hmm.
Tough ass.
I was like, it'll work itself out sooner or later. Don't worry about it. But I was blown away that this child at that age could reason with me and be right, you know? She says a lot of things and does a lot of things that blow me away. Her memory is sick. Like,
is there anything crazy that your dad did that you swore you'd never do, but you do?
I'll tell you what, let me answer it the other way, what I don't do. My mother, when we were little kids, used to lick a fucking napkin and wipe our face in that stank spit. I was like, get that the fuck off my face.
Yeah. You think it's cleaner now because you licked your hand and wiped my face?
Right.
That's like the handkerchief.
Lick the thumb and...
When I used to see my grandfather, classy dude.
My dad had one.
But when he took that handkerchief out, blew it, and then put it back in his pocket, I'm like, you nasty.
That's the one thing I wouldn't do. But my dad also had three kids, so I get it now.
Yeah.
Snot nose run all the time. Like, here, I'm like, he just blew his boogies in that motherfucker. I don't want them on those. And you're putting that shit in your pocket? Where are your keys, motherfucker? I don't want that loose change. So, yes, I've never done that to my daughter, like, lick my fucking finger. Her mom does it. Every time I see it, too, I look at her and I go, ew.
So gross.
But I'm pretty... I've only yelled one time in 5.5 years, and that's not bad. I raised my voice, and she cried. She's like, you scared me. And I was like, well, you know what? I wasn't right to yell, and I apologize for doing that. But how many times have I ever done that? And she's like, it's the first time. Like,
what'd you yell?
I'm allowed to yell. They just weren't listening to their mom, and I was in the middle of working on this studio, and I just needed to get away for an hour and a half or 2 hours to work. And within 30 minutes, I'm getting called because they're not listening. So I got to go back, and I was not happy about having to go back.
But that's the thing. Like, did you feel guilty about yelling?
No.
No.
No, I felt good and vindicated. Yeah. Listen. During the pandemic, it felt good to get some shit out, too.
Yeah.
But also, it wasn't that I felt bad, because what I was saying was being said loud. That's all. The message wasn't hurtful or, you know, disrespectful, but my volume was loud. So that's what was...
Yeah, but...
That's what scared everybody.
What a great...
That's what scared everybody. Yeah. So I didn't feel bad about the message, but I did apologize for the volume of the
message. What an ace in the hole you have.
Yeah.
You have an ace in the hole, dude. You know that the yelling gets people's attention. Now, if you overplay your card,
then that's like whatever. Isn't it?
Yeah. But you got.
But if I did that every 5.5 years, twice in 11 years, I got that. Yeah, I got that.
By the way, if you only raise your voice twice in 11 years,
I said yell. I get my voice up a little bit. I'm like, let's go. I'll get one of those. But I don't. I'm talking about. I came in hot. You know,
right
what I mean?
In the door, hot.
I was coming in like, everybody sit down. You know, I was going on.
How many times did you practice the speech on the way from here?
There was no practicing. I wanted a free flow. I just needed to let the dragon out. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, you were talking about it in the car to yourself, though. This motherfucker.
I was definitely saying some shit in the car after I hung up that phone.
Oh, I bet you
I'll
were,
say this.
Dude.
The best part of that argument happened from the time I hung up that phone with their mom to the second I walked in that front
door.
Oh,
you felt good. That was a great therapy session that whole ride home.
I'll tell you, my ego exists, and mostly it's in the car. Mm-hmm. That's where I allow my ego. And I'm like, sit here. We're going into a meeting. Don't fucking come into this meeting, ego. Sit here in the car and listen to music.
I will tell you, my car, in the car, is where I get all the conversations out that I want to have. I get them all out, man. And I just, anything I want, because sometimes, man, what I want to say to somebody is what I know is not the best thing to say to them, especially in this town, in this business. So sometimes I will get in the car and I will have the whole conversation I want to have because I want to just say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get back to my house. You know what that almost has taken the place of? The list.
Remember good. Yes, of course I remember your list of people. Yeah.
So, but to get it out,
mm-hmm.
I just drive around and I say exactly what I want to say, how I want to say it. I get the responses that I want to get because
there are none. Yeah.
Yeah. But it really is.
And then they
cool.
call and you're like, hey, we're going to push the call 2 weeks. Like, God damn it. I was ready to go.
Oh, but you know, the one thing I never do is I never practice the conversation in the mirror. I know some people do. I don't want to see.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I want to see because sometimes I get this. Look,
I want you to look at me.
Yeah,
I don't want.
I want to see me. Sometimes I'm like, is this because I get lost in? Is that what I look like? God, how can anyone take me seriously?
I raise my eyebrows like that when I yell. My nose flares that wide.
Can they see my nose hair like I can? I did pull a gray nose hair.
Yeah, I mean you're 50, bro. You should have gray nose.
What's the first one?
Wow,
I didn't like it.
It's impressive.
Really? Do you get them? You get, why are you going to say 50 like that?
Because it's impressive.
Oh,
50.
Yeah, I know. But you.
I get, hell yeah, I get nose hairs. I take a nose trimmer, though. I don't know. I don't inspect the color of the hair when it comes out of my nose, but usually it's dark. Usually it's dark. I know. That's you. I know. You do.
I like that weird.
I do like the yank them out. And
oh,
shit,
you know what the ones I like the most is when you pull on it and you can feel it into your eyeball. Like you pull on it and your eyeball goes to the center of your head. Oh, I love it when you pull your nose hair and it's like a window shade for your eyelid. And it's like, see, ooh, okay, it's attached.
I will say this, going back to your question of parenting, like I will not, I'm always goofy around my daughter.
Yeah.
I always play with her. Like we've been swimming a shitload right now. And I'm telling you, I've swam more already in the spring than I ever have in the fucking summer. That's not true, but we're swimming a lot and I got to be in there, you know? And sometimes I'm like, I just want to sit out here today and relax. Like my shoulder's killing me. Like, Dad, you got to get in and be the dolphin. And then sooner or later I get in and I'm the fucking dolphin.
Time spent.
That's it. And that's what I say too. Like she's going to be 10 and 20 in 2 seconds. And you're right. It was really interesting to hear your dad say, you don't get to know you know them less and less. They become these parents and, you know, employees or business owners or whatever they become. And you're just waiting on their calls or you're reaching out to them. And they're
about this.
Yeah.
They come home and they tell you, my boss is an asshole. Well, we've been in the workplace. We know there's two sides of the story. So we like my boss, but I'm sure the boss would be like, yeah, your kid shows up 15 minutes late.
Right.
Is on his phone all the time. Like that's, you know what I mean? It has a smart fucking mouth. Like, what is he on his phone when he's in meetings? Like you are only hearing that one part, which sounds super honest, which I suppose is, but you like the other good thing is that Jacob worked on the Spade show. So I would get reports back, which was always super cool. Like I'd be like, hey, just send me a text every now and then, let me know what's going on with him. Now I don't get to see that with my two oldest kids, which is because my oldest son is in Texas and my daughter's just 26 and we don't have eyeballs on her all the time. But
it is nice to hear that though. I used to love hearing like other parents would say about my stepson when he'd come home.
Feels
to his mom.
Good.
They were like, hey, he was very well mannered and really respectful. And it's like, good, you're doing the right thing out there. That's nice to hear. Yeah.
But it is nice to hear that as a parent. I always tried to tell people about their kids if something good happened, because I knew how good it felt. But I've recently transferred that over into my real life. You'll get texts from me sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, hey, just want to know that I appreciate you. And because I think it's important, man, that we don't do that enough with people in our lives that we care about, to be like, hey, man, just so you know, thinking about you today, I think you're a fucking great guy, and I'm glad that we're friends.
Look, the money thing is scary for everybody.
Yeah.
It is. Not just individuals, but overall economy, all of it. And you're right, though. When do we get to spend time where you have to be home? And I'm eating it up. Like I said, she'll be not wanting to hang out with me in a handful of years. Is going to happen. We already see it, you know. So to have not be able to go on the road, yeah, sure. Not the financial part is scary, but I'm home with my daughter and hanging out with my kids and having a good time. Like,
invaluable. And yeah. Wait, and then,
and when are you going to get? Well, hopefully we don't have to do this.
Yeah,
for real.
But just so you know, it may be tough for you. They'll never forget this.
Yeah.
One of the things that came out of the conversation with Jacob, and I was like, what do you remember about your childhood, man? And he was like, we had fun. We always were having fun. I was always about, let's just make a memory. Because you don't remember every day of your childhood. There are certain things that stick out. So I was always like, let's do those things that are going to stick out.
Right.
We obviously do the day-to-day, but we did, and you know, you do... Don't tell me you don't have any money. I didn't have any money, man, when I was raising those kids. I've told you this before.
Yeah.
We did our roller coaster was, I put them in the trunk of my car and I drove around an empty parking lot.
Yeah.
Right. So, but if you ask them, they're like, that was so right. Fucking fun.
Look, I remember one time going with my dad. We went to Ocean City, Maryland. We decide we're going to go out. We're going to throw some crab traps.
Did you grow up with money?
No, hell no. Are you? Hell no.
Yeah.
I'm selling night pants, bro. I'm not selling Bentleys and shit. I'm not selling Rolexes. I'm selling loungewear.
Yeah, my bad. Are you from the East Coast, Sicklers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. But we went to Ocean City, Maryland. And again, that was a vacation for a lot of us. Like, you pack the family up, you go to the beach for a week.
Fuck yeah.
And it was a 2-hour ride right in your same state. You know, it's very different than California, which is much more of a day trip to the beach place. And you know how it is. It's condos lying down the fucking whole coast.
You know,
everybody's down there to hang out. And I don't remember anything about the trip. I don't remember this, that, and the other. But I remember we went to crab. We skunked. My dad's like, we're just going to buy some on the way home. We get a couple dozen live ones, and they're wet in a paper bag. The guy gives them to us, and we're in an elevator, and my dad's like, it's breaking. And I go, I'm holding it. And I go, it's breaking. My dad's like, it's not breaking. I'm like, Dad, it's breaking. He's like,
how old are you?
I'm probably like 10 or 11, and there's 5 or 6 other people in this elevator. I'm like, no, it's breaking. He's like, Ryan, stop saying it. You're scared of people. I'm like, it's breaking. And then I don't want to get bit. I let that motherfucker go. Crabs everywhere in the elevator. We're in.
Come on.
Oh, dude, our floor hits. We open. We put. They get out yelling. We're all trying to grab them and get them back and shit. That's what I remember about that whole fucking trip.
Memory.
That's what I remember about that whole trip. The fucked up thing that happened that was fun and funny.
You know what's funny? I've always said, like, you don't remember how many times that your mom or somebody cut the crust off your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Do. None.
No, there.
None.
Yeah, you remember.
I remember.
But like most people don't. But you know, I remember the time my brother fell off the roof.
Right.
Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Because that was. But so. My thing with when I was raising him was, let's make some of those, man. Like, I also think that for every good thing you do as a parent, there's a negative side.
Sure,
to it.
Yeah.
If you, like, my youngest son, man, he can go the flow. easy going. What do you want to do today? Yeah, I can do that. You want to do that? Yeah, I can do that. He can talk to anybody. Give him some structure. Make him sit down and do this, this, this every day. He just is not equipped. It's not how he was raised. So some people are like, yeah, it's great that he can go with anything. I'm like, yeah, but have him sit at a desk for 5 hours. It's just not something. Right. And the same thing is true of the opposite. Those people who are very well structured and can do everything and plan the day out, tell them dinner's at 6:45 and not 6. They're going to lose their fucking mind. So that's what I mean. When I started to realize all that, like, people are just doing what they think is the best they can fucking do. That's why I hate those parenting books. Because to me, the parenting books are designed to make you feel like a bad parent. Like, well, my kid didn't walk at 2 years old. Well, he's a fucking terrible kid.
Yeah.
Your kid is a dumb motherfucker.
Yeah, he's slow.
Yeah, he's really slow walker. I would get him into, because you see people like in the.
Gets real competitive.
Who's reading first in here? And you know the parent of whatever kid is reading first. Let's everybody know.
Yeah. My son reads.
Yeah, he reads. He reads. Yeah, he reads. Yeah, his name's also Amethyst, so you fucked him up.
Amethyst. You know what I'm saying? That's my birthstone.
Like, you fucked him up in more ways than one. But yeah, man. The books and, like, when people call and ask me for advice, because for whatever reason they think I know what I'm doing, just because my kids are all alive. But, like,
that's the goal.
It is.
Alive and healthy.
But the truth of the matter is, you can't parent every one of your kids the same. And who you are changes. So, how you're going to parent is going to change. When you're a younger parent, there are things you don't care about that you do care about when you're an older parent. Like, it just, my brother was a dad at 50 for the first time. He's a lot more.
Wow.
He's a lot more nervous than I was as a parent about her getting hurt or what can and can't do. And as a younger parent, I was like, let's just go fucking whatever, you know, put you in the trunk of a car and drive you around for a little while. Right. So, like, there's so many variables. I bet you there are some people who had kids young who were terrible parents, maybe are not involved with those kids' lives, got remarried later and are better parents because they're older and more mature
to the new set. Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the fuck? It's such a crazy thing. Like you said, you're given an alive thing and being like, hey, take care of this now. But I don't know what I'm... That first time you get your baby out of the bath and you're like, are they all this slippery?
Right.
I mean, whoo!
You don't know anything.
Nothing.
You know nothing.
Why is he peeing in my mouth right now?
No, nothing. You know nothing.
The day that I realized what the fuck is going on, I was getting Jacob out of the back seat, and he was in his car seat, and I looked at him, and I was like, you got poop on your neck, buddy? Because when there's the shit shoots up the back. And I'm like,
did he?
Yeah, he had shit on his neck.
Diarrhea up his
neck. And he was like, hey. And I was like, and I looked at him like, you have shit on your neck, buddy? And I was like, do I not know where his asshole is? Like, does he have a second did he grow a second asshole? Like, and I was like, Mom, what's the deal? She goes, no, boys especially, sometimes it shoots up the back. I'm like, up the back? That green, like, what?
Green, yeah. I know. It's so funny. As soon as you said the color, I just smelled it instantly. I was like,
Get the fuck out of here. But I secretly have always wanted to shit that color green.
I secretly have always wanted to shit up my back. Maybe not so secretly. I would love the power one. Like, no way.
We worked on a TV show once. Okay.
You also have to tell me about taking your daughter to get her first kiss.
Okay.
Across the country.
Okay. So I was snooping and I found some messages I didn't love online to this dude. A lot of talk about where people live and shit. And so as soon as I see we're exchanging where we live, I'm nervous because you know who else lives in that house? Me.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I need to know who, what the fuck. So we confront her and I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, I love him. And he's like,
how old is she?
She's probably 14. and I love this guy, and he's my soulmate. And right then I'm like, no, he's not. Basically, we got into this shit about like how, when she's like, how do you know he's not? I'm like, because it's online. And this is early online. I'm like, you don't know. Nobody's there themselves online. She goes, he's himself. I go, are you, when he responds to you, do you just write free flow or do you think about what you want to say? Do you think about what you want to say? And she's like, yeah. I go, and this website you're on is for cosplay and anime. What's your avatar? A picture of you? Or is it like a sexy anime character? So are we being ourselves? How do I know this dude isn't some guy I went to high school with? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What the fuck? But she was adamant. And I said, okay. And he was in, he lived in Missouri. And I was getting ready to go do a show in Missouri with Larry the Cable Guy. And so I was like, you know what, Beth, my wife, I said, I'm going to take her. We're going to meet this guy and I'm going to prove to her that he's not real.
Oh my God.
So that's how, right? Because you know what dads like, as much as their kids having fun and enjoying themselves, being right.
I was just about to say being right.
Oh man, how badly, you know how badly I was looking forward to being right. You know how I knew I was going to be right? I go, let me see a picture of this guy. Because all I saw was the avatar. I go, do you even know what he looks like? And she goes, yeah, he sent me a picture. So she printed it out. Do you know the picture he sent? He sent her.
This is Lawrence Taylor.
Dude. He sent her a photoshopped picture, you know, like kind of art decoed out of 21 Jump Street Johnny Depp.
That's what he's sending out.
So, and she doesn't fucking know 21 right. Jump Street right. Johnny Depp.
It's not even relevant.
Right? So, and
so he probably is your age.
So she said to me, and he's so cute. I'm like, oh, he is cute. I'm like, he's one of
this guy right here.
He's cute. One of the best looking people who's ever walked planet Earth. And I'm like, I told Beth, I'm like, I feel very confident. Let's take her. On the way there, she tells me, and she's, by the way, the plane trip, she buys him these chocolates. I'm so excited to give him these chocolates. And about an hour in, she's like, I'm just going to have one. It's a shame. She's chocolate. And she was like, he wouldn't mind if I had two. Right? Because it's two and there's two of us. And she had another one. She was like, you know, I'm just going to split it with him. I'm going to have half. And by the time we landed, she was like, we need to get out.
I feel like shit.
But on the plane, when she's eating her chocolates, super excited and so chatty, she tells me one of the reasons that she's also excited to go is she's never been kissed before and she wants him to be her first kiss. And now there's a lot of conflict for me, dude, because I still want to be right, but this is such a unique experience for me to be able to be part of. The fact that she asked me, I'm with her and she's telling me this is such a crazy thing for a daughter to say to her father. So I'm like, oh, I want to be right, but I want this to be good for her. You know what I mean? But I know we're not going to run into Johnny Depp. So I'm instantly thinking, if she gets past the initial disappointment for whatever fucking dude.
Now, what's the Peter Delevingne? We might run into him. Okay. But we ain't seeing Johnny Depp. Okay.
Not in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Right? So she's holding up a picture of Johnny Depp looking for him. And I feel like telling her, he's not going to be here. Let's lower the paper and look for the what seems like is going to fit.
Because I can't believe I've never heard this.
I'm coming with her. I know he's coming with his dad. This story's in my book. So if you, and it's a little more extended in there. But so I'm looking for who I think fits. Dad, son, looking around also. We're out in front of the arena where I'm playing with Larry the Cable Guy. So we told them to come to the show because the dad is a huge Larry the Cable Guy fan. So, shocker. So,
yeah.
So I see two father-son walking up, and this kid is not Johnny Depp. He is the pale. You know when you see someone who's so pale, like he stepped in a pail. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. like, have you been in under the ocean? Like that kind of, like the color of my legs. You've seen my legs.
Yeah.
So he's walking up with this dude. I'm like, hey, Kate. And he knows
what Ronnie Depp.
Yeah. It's close. So it walks up and he knows what Kate looks like. And he goes, because he knows the picture he sent, man.
Because she sent a real one.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. she doesn't look like an underwater creature, you know? Yeah. So he goes, Kate. And I could see her go. Her face just was like, but I'm there. First kiss. She doesn't want to admit to me that she's right. So she's like, hey. And they're real awkward. And I shake this dude's hand. Real nice dude. I'm going to give you one distinguishing feature on him.
The dad or the kid?
The dad.
Okay.
This is not a judgment on the man. I'm just telling you what I'm looking at. It doesn't matter what he's dressed like. All I need to tell you is, you know your front eight teeth?
Yeah, I'm familiar with my teeth.
Yeah. So you probably never thought of your front eight because you got them all. My man had one.
Come on, dude.
And it was an extra long front tooth. That hung over his lip.
A bottle over.
Dude, it looked like that tooth ate all the other teeth. You know what I mean? Like, there can only be one. That's right.
Everybody get out! One,
yeah.
Tooth.
Yeah, just he, oh, right? So, man. And it was long, dude. Like, all the calcium, apparently when he ate it, went to that one tooth. And the other teeth were like, catch it.
It's just all calcium.
It just withered away.
It's not even a tooth.
Yeah.
It's just a calcium deposit.
Right? So.
Oh, God.
So I'm looking at this dude. I see, you know, the guy that shows up that's Ronnie Depp. So I got Ronnie Depp and this dude. And Ronnie says to me, my dad is really excited to be here. This is Larry the Cable Guy is his hero. And, there are almost 10 times the amount of people in that arena that are in our hometown. So this is like a huge deal for us. So thank you so much.
Same amount of teeth.
Yeah.
Same amount of teeth.
So we go in, they're right up front. The one good thing I will tell you, man, and I genuinely like the one thing about this on a side note, to see how happy this dude was so cool. It also gave me such a great perspective on like, oh, I'm just here to do another show. This was the biggest day of his life.
And he's getting treated like royalty.
Yeah.
Way better than a dentist treats him.
So like, it was really, things like that always help me with perspective. Like, oh, I have a pretty cool gig.
Fuck yeah, we do.
Do you know what I mean?
And well, like, I remember.
Yeah, what it used
I
to be.
I remember
yeah.
what it was like.
I mean, look at this picture, look at
that. Bro. Come on, man.
So we have the show, and they're sitting in front. We go backstage. This was a little embarrassing. Backstage, Larry the Cable Guy is Dan Whitney. Mm-hmm. He's got a different accent.
Does he? Oh, I didn't know. I thought he had that. I thought that was his accent.
No, no.
Oh, wow.
He had a different accent. So the guy walks back. And I got him in the green room. He's super excited to meet Larry the Cable Guy. And he says, hey, I just got one question. I'm a big fan. I never thought I'd be able to meet you. And Dan's the most gracious dude. And he's like, I'm great. Thanks for coming to the show. And the guy goes, I just got one question. How come you use your real accent on stage and your fake one back here?
That's a great question.
And Cable Guy never took his eyes off of him and just goes, I'm sorry, who brought you?
Job.
Yeah, it was like my fourth gig with this right, dude. I'm yeah. like, hey, man. But we walk out. And so I'm like, hey, everybody, I'd like to treat for dinner. Let the kids talk a little bit. Whatever you want to eat. This is, dude. He goes, I go, whatever you want to eat. And he goes, whatever. And I go, whatever. He goes, I'd like to eat a steak. And I was thinking, I'd like to watch you eat a steak. I think this is a good idea, right? So we get in the car. And but when he said steak, he was like, I saw there's a Steak and Shake. I'm like, yeah, whatever. That's cool. We'll go get a Steak and Shake.
You want good steak.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Top notch. All right. So when we get in the car, I got to get all my jokes out now. Do you know what I mean? I got to get my daughter's there. I'm like, so how do you think he eats the steak? Do you think his son chews it for him and then puts it on his plate? Or does he say, "When you, how do you want your steak cooked? Blended? Like what?
Blended. How do you think he doesn't floss?
Does he floss with a thimble? Does he just put it on a... So she's like, stop it. I'm like, how's it going? And she said, well, we're not exactly soulmates. And I said, do you still want to do this first kiss? She's like, I don't know. I don't know yet. I go, okay, well, we still got time. We get to the restaurant. The longer they're sitting together, the more they realize they're not soulmates. And we pay for the food, and the dude is super nice. The kid is super nice. Just my daughter, it's Ronnie Depp. It's not Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And he's running out of things to say because he can't think about his responses for an hour or a day before he gets back to her. So, nice enough kid, but not for her. We're walking out, and I say to her, Kate, do you want your first kiss? And she's like, well, I go, hey, what happens in Poplar Bluff stays in Poplar Bluff. I said, but if you want to get the nerves out of a first kiss until you have your actual first kiss, so you can figure out a few things that you, let's just do it.
She was like, let's, you're in on it.
And she was like, you think so? I go, do you want him? She was like, I do. I just want to get it. She goes, I came all this way. I've been thinking about it. So I catch them when they're walking outside. I go, hey, how about we go back to the hotel? And I was like, you and I can sit in the lobby. And I told them, I said, there's a couple chairs by the elevators. You guys can go sit there for like 15 minutes. So they walk over the chairs. Me and the dude sit in the hotel lobby. This is the opening line. He goes, you know, my dad ran over me with a tractor when I was 8. And I was like, well, I hope this lasts 15 minutes. I'm really interested in this. You know, you know me well enough to know that line hooks me 100%. I'm done. Fuck that. They can take an hour. However long it takes you to tell me this story.
Got one tooth.
Yeah.
And that's how you... I'm wondering if the tractor cut that fucking mouth off.
So my daughter, they were there for like 3 minutes. My daughter comes back. She's like, I'm ready to go now. I'm like, everything all right? She goes, yeah, I'm just ready. And I go, okay. You want to say goodbye to everybody? She goes, bye. She kind of scurries out of the elevators. I go, okay. And I told the kid, nice to meet you, son. And, you know... And I tell the dude, he goes, we should stay in touch. I'm like, you know what?
Hang out with your dentist. I'm good.
So, yeah. Let me know when you eat when you enter the corn on the cob championship, and I'll get there, man. So, I'll go watch him eat some corn.
I will too. You probably put it in there and fly it right off. Like, God damn, look at him. It's a machine.
So, well, do you want to know how he ate the steak?
Yes, of course.
He cut it into little pieces, but he mushed it on the top of the roof of his mouth with his tongue. He went,
ew. Like up under, like, and pushed it against that tooth.
I guess the tongue must have gotten so strong. You know what I mean? It's a muscle. It just kind of, and he would just, you'd see him go, and just kind of, and I was like, that is the fucking. So we go back, we get in the elevator, we go up to the room, we get in the hotel room, me and her, and I'm in my bed, and she's getting ready, hasn't said a word about it. And I'm pretending to watch TV, and she sits on her bed and starts to watch TV, and I turn TV off. I go, wait a second. All of that, we make the plan, first kiss. You're going to tell me anything? She goes, all right, what? I don't want to talk about it after this. I go, okay. She goes, we were sitting there, and I realized he had never been kissed before either. It was both our first kiss. And I went to lean in, and we leaned in too fast. And he had had a giant pimple on his chin.
I thought you were going to say he had a one big bottom.
No, no. He had one giant pimple on his chin. Mm. And when they went too hard, and her face popped his pimple.
No. And it squirted on her face?
It exploded, right? So now.
Oh, that is sick, dude. That is gross.
Terrible.
That
now,
is gross.
You know me, man. I'm trying not to laugh. And I'm also trying not to slap myself on the back for being right. But I'm also feel bad for my daughter. You know what I mean? But it was the craziest. I learned, by the way, that trip, you know what I learned? She pointed a lot of things out to me about the way I parented her. Because she did a lot of cosplay and anime. And I lean on humor when I don't know things or understand things.
Yeah, we make fun of it. Yes.
And I said something to her about, and she goes, yeah, but you don't care about that. I go, what do you mean? I listen to everything you say. And she goes, yeah, but you call it you never pronounce it right as a joke, and you're always making some sort of joke, and but you never make a joke about Jacob when he talks about baseball. Or I go, yeah, but I understand baseball. She goes, well, then why don't you just learn something about what I'm doing?
Put this sexy panda costume on.
Put these elven ears on. But like, but she said, she goes, I know you think you're there, but you're not present. You're not there when I'm talking to you because you don't care about what it is that I'm doing. I said, I care. She goes, yeah, but not enough to find out what it is or listen. And you make a joke because you don't know what I'm talking about. And that doesn't make it weird. That just means that you haven't taken the time to figure out what I do. And I was like, yep. Well, she was 100% right. But it was a great trip on so many levels. Like, I learned so much about her. I did learn a lot about myself. I was right. It ended up being a great story.
For you to tell.
Yeah.
her version is not so great.
Yeah, well, listen, you know what? I'm not so concerned with that. Because at the end of the day, man, even though I wanted it to be, and she obviously had a great real first kiss and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, she deleted that account. And she's even said to this day, she was like, yeah, I don't believe anything I read on there from anybody. Which, yeah. If it took one broken pimple.
Hey, job well done, Dad.
You got to break a couple pimples along the way. You know what I mean?
On someone else's face. Oh, God, that's sick.
Did you ever date anybody that liked to pop pimples on your body?
Yeah. I love those girls.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, no. I mean, I would ask them, like, can you get that one on my back I can't get? And they all play esthetician or whatever.
Like
a dermatologist and get all up on me.
They go, look, you ever get one trying to, like, I got to get those blackheads out of your nose. What the
no,
fuck?
No, not on my face, no. But on my back or something like that. Hell yeah.
You ever let a girl pee for you when you're standing up?
Hold it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
I've let them, and I've also asked them to help me out with this. Because I'm about to piss my pants. I'm shit-faced.
I can't get my dick out of my night pants.
Or if you could just help me. If you could just help me lay it out on my side, I'll pull my dick through my night hole pants right here. It's a night hole in my night pants.
Do you have? Do your night pants have a hole?
Yeah.
I don't need to see it.
Wait, do they? No, they don't. They're better. You can wear them without underwear, but mm-hmm. you shouldn't around kids.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, especially other people's kids.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on. This has been fucking awesome.
I can't believe you'd never heard that story, dude. Thank you so much for having me.
I don't think I've ever heard that. I mean, we've done so many together. I mean, hell, it sounded new to me. I feel like I'd remember some asshole one motherfucker too. And a pimple popping on someone else's face.
Yeah. No, man, you know what? I'll tell you something. You are... I listen to your podcast because you get... I don't know what it is about you, but you get great things out of your guests. Like you're easy to talk to.
That's nice.
You have I think it's from, obviously, from doing it so long with Crab Feast, but you know the perfect time to jump in with jokes. Like you.
That's, I appreciate that. I'm flattered. I'm trying to say from you, that means
dude,
a lot.
Like you really,
I'll try to keep that darkness a little bit light.
Yeah, like, dude, but you pick the snipe. Spot, especially you're like, okay, the darkness has happened for just long enough. I'm on
shit on this guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let's bring out the dentist. You know what I mean? Like,
thank you, brother.
Yeah, dude, it's really impressive.
I appreciate you. You know, like I said, you're a great father, and you're right. I mean, I'm 47. I'll be different in 3 years and parent different and think differently and everything. It all changes. And my daughter's not going to be 5, she'll be 8. So then you got to. She's doing different shit. So
and
you're
technology
right.
By the time
growing.
Your kid is a teenager.
God. Wonder what it's going to be like when they're fucking parents. I just want to sit back and laugh at them. Be like, good luck with that shit.
Your parents can fly.
Good luck.
Yeah. That's my parents. My parents are like, you know what we never had to deal with? The internet.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy that.
Yep. Yeah. Well, dude, one more time. Please promote everything you'd like.
Control Chaos, Tuesdays, 7 o'clock Pacific time. It's a half an hour, just fun. I get some pretty big guests on there. I had Luke Bryan on the other day, the guys from NSYNC, you, Tiffany Haddish was on this week. And then I do a high live Monday night on my Facebook fan page at 7 o'clock. It's just me getting really high, taking mushrooms and, reading children's books and doing weird shit. And then just check out my YouTube channel if you haven't. There's some fun comedy on there.
I love it, brother. I love you, too.
You're the best,
Thank you for coming. You're always welcome. And thank you all as well. Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel now. We'll talk to y'all next week.